The book of Mark, chapters 6 through 9, is where I'm going to be this morning. Chapters 6 through 9 of the book of Mark. And as we get started on the message, I want to make this statement. Don't turn away from the move of God. We heard that prophetically. Very good, Pastor Jay. Thanks for your stepping forward in obedience this morning. Don't turn away from the move of God. Give God room to move in your life. Who wants to say amen with me?
Amen.
Amen. Turn to each other. Say, give God room.
Give.
Now turn to the person on the other side. Say, don't limit God. Folks, we're in a culture where we are in a time where our culture, our countries, increasingly do not welcome God. And America was established as a nation. Our founding fathers and our forefathers would not envision, would not have imagined a land in which faith was not publicly honored and that, quoting Scripture, praying to Jesus would not only not be welcomed, but could be a cause of dismissal or even lawsuits. They couldn't envision that kind of time. As we have kicked the Bible out of our schools, common sense has consequently left our institutions, left our lives, and Bible illiteracy is rampant. How many know that's true? People do not know the Bible anymore. And what we find instead of a surrender to Jesus and to the Bible, we find a salad bar concept. I want to pick and choose the ingredients that I want to accept for my life instead of taking on the whole enchilada. Instead of taking on the whole meal God presents through His Word, I just want a few little things. I want to pick and choose. That's our country. That's our culture. The problem is this. The Bible is the inerrant Word of God. Someone say amen.
Amen.
The Bible is the inerrant Word of God. It's true. The problem is not God's when there's not understanding. The problem is ours. Isn't that true? We are doing our best here in this place to study the Word and to embrace it and live the Word of God as best as we know how. How many understand, therefore, we are changing? Anybody in this room changing? Look at each other and say, keep growing. Don't limit God. But we wonder why we have problems when we pick and choose from God rather than surrender to Him. They had this problem in Israel too. Let's go to the scripture. First of all, we're going to go to Psalm 78. Psalm 78. Now, if you don't have a Bible with you, there are Bibles in the back of the room. And I have also several overheads here, Pat, of scriptures. You thought you were going to have a morning off, didn't you? Sorry. Vacation. All right, here we go. And let's see. One more. Here we go. Psalm 78, if you would, please. Psalm 78, verses 34 through 41. I'm reading from the New King James. When he slew them, then they sought him. Now, stop just even right there. When he slew them, then they sought him. How many know that you're quicker to seek God in a time of suffering than in a time when everything's just roses? Isn't that a sad statement, but true? It's true. And they returned and sought earnestly for God. Verse 35. Then they remembered that God was their rock. Psalm 78, verse 35. And the Most High God, their Redeemer. Nevertheless, watch this, they flattered Him with their mouth and they lied to Him with their tongue. For their heart was, say it with me please, not steadfast with Him. Nor were they faithful in His covenant. Verse 36 or 38. But He, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and did not destroy them. Somebody say, thank God. Yes, many a time He turned His anger away and did not stir up all His wrath. Verse 39. For He remembered that they were but flesh, a breath that passes away and does not come again. Verse 40. How often they provoked Him in the wilderness and grieved Him in the desert. Watch this. Yes, again and again they tempted God. Please say the last phrase with me. And limited the Holy One of Israel. Turn to each other one more time and say, don't limit God. Other translations for this word say pained God or provoked God. But limited is very descriptive. And literally, in the Hebrew, that means scraping to pieces. Rather than accept God in whole, in total, we attempt to scrape Him to pieces and take the bits and the pieces we want and push the other stuff that I don't like so much about God away. When relationship with Him really means total surrender. Webster says limit means something that bounds, restrains, or confines. We try to do that with God sometimes. We try to put Him in a box. And what is a box? Something that has limits. And we do that to our own confusion and harm. Come on, don't look so holy at me. Anybody ever done this? And I want to show you through some scripture this morning in the book of Mark how this malady affects faith. But I'm going to end up with some positive conclusions and applications for us. But what I want to say again is make way for the move of God. Don't limit Him. Now, let's go to Mark. Mark chapter 6. And as we turn to Mark, let me talk just briefly about this book. That Mark has a vivid walk with God. And the book of Mark is expressed vividly, powerfully, passionately. We've talked about it many times here in the congregation and gone through several messages from Mark. You can find them at www.gracechristiancenter.us. There's a bunch of messages on there about Mark. But Mark is probably the first of the four Gospels written. And the primary inspiration for the book of Mark is Peter. Remember, Mark was the young man who left the mission field. Remember, Paul and Barnabas were going out on their apostolic journey and planting churches. And Mark, or John Mark, the Bible says, accompanied him. How many remember what Mark did? He what? He left. He took off. He didn't stick for the whole journey, did he? And so Paul was upset by that. And so it comes time for the second apostolic journey. And Barnabas wants to take Mark or John Mark with him. And Paul says, ain't no way. And he said, they were contending so strongly, the division was so sharp between them because of this, that Barnabas, who was Mark's cousin, by the way, Barnabas took Mark on the journey with him. And Paul took who, remember? Silas. And so what we have is a division. Now, Peter possibly and probably birthed Mark into relationship with Jesus. And you find later in the scripture in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 13, he refers to Mark as my son. How many remember, if your history is being recalled, Mark's mother's name was Mary, and she has a large home. And the apostles and brethren in Jerusalem come to her home and find refreshing. And there is a place where Mark grew up in the overflow or the presence of God with the men and women of faith. Peter was there so often at his house. We all laugh over the story. How many remember the story where Peter's in jail? They're all praying for him to get out. And the angel comes and releases him miraculously. And all of a sudden, Peter's knocking at the gate. Hey, let me in. They're hunting Peter down. And he's been at the house so much that the servant girl inside recognizes it's Peter. And she's so excited about God answering her prayer, she runs inside to tell the group, hey, it's Peter at the gate. And Peter's standing out there going, yes, it's me, let me in. But we laugh over this section of scripture, but they knew him so well. They knew his voice so well that she didn't have any hesitation. Yeah, it's Peter outside. Peter takes Mark, Barnabas, let me say this first. Barnabas takes Mark and fashions him as a real man of God under his wing. And Peter is a fantastic mentor to Mark then as well. So much so that Paul, a dozen years later at his first jailing, says that Mark is with him. And at the end of Paul's life, Paul says, make sure Mark comes to me because he is so useful to me in the ministry. Folks, right there you see a powerful story of restoration. How many believe in restoration? Restoration. Our God is a restoring God, a redeeming God. Anybody in this room perfect yet? Okay, I'm talking to the right crowd. Anybody ever had any relational problems with anybody? What's wrong with you rotten sinners? But you see it right in the scripture, is right there at the, some of the most important players in the Bible had problems. And yet God brings them full circle with restoration power. What a great God. Someone say amen. Amen. What a great God. So what we have is the Gospel of Luke could really be called the Gospel of Paul, because Paul and Luke are a team, and Luke is mentored by Paul. And the Gospel of Mark could really be referred to as the Gospel of Peter. And what you've got in this great little gospel is this live, action-packed, involved book where Jesus is moving quickly and healing and strengthening, delivering and feeding and teaching. And it's absolutely powerful. In fact, he goes, straightway is the King James word. And that word is in the Bible, in the book of Mark, 42 times. Far more than any of the rest of the scriptures. The language is stirring and the motion's incredible. And Mark presents Jesus as the servant of God. And it's written primarily to the Gentiles, especially to the Romans. And therefore, it doesn't contain the genealogies that you're going to find in the book of John and the book of Matthew. You're going to find he gets straight to the action that's going to refer or stir the hearts of the Gentiles. It's a fantastic book for evangelism. Lots of times people give out the book of John to people who are just saved or for evangelism. I find that it's a little harder to understand the book of John. Give them the book of Mark because it's right now action-packed involved in the lives of these people. Miracles are predominant. 18 miracles are recorded in the book of Mark. The last 40% of the book of Mark is taken up with simply the last 8 days of Jesus' life and ministry. Let's go on. Mark chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. And I want to talk for a moment about limiting God. I want you to watch what happens in several sets of scriptures I'm going to give you. Mark 6, 1 through 6. Then he went out from there, and he came to his own country. And his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things? What wisdom is this which is given to him, and such mighty works are performed by his hands?" Watch this. "Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us?" And they were, say it with me please, offended at him. But Jesus said to him, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house." Now, he could do no mighty work there. Say it again with me. Don't limit God. And he could do no mighty work there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went about in the villages in a circuit teaching. The word offended is scandalizo. Sounds like scandal or scandalous. It's the root of that. Scandalizo. And it means to trip up, to stumble, to entice to sin or displeasure. They were displeasure. They were stumbled over the fact, here's this kid we knew all his life. Who does he think he is? Ways to limit God. Watch. Number one, familiarity. And it goes like this. I've known him in the past. Been there, done that. Been to church. I know who Jesus is. Jesus didn't do anything for me. How can church offer anything different? You reach out to people all around you. And you invite them to church. Oh, been there, done that. Heard about him all my life. Nothing special. Nothing great about Jesus. I already need to know all I know about Jesus. Nice teacher. Past baggage. Miracles before. Miracles after this section of Scripture. But they limited him by their familiarity. He could do no mighty work there. And that mighty, the word in the Greek is dunamis. No powerful release of the mighty dynamite power of God. Now somebody might say to me, "Are you nuts, Kevin? We can't limit God like that." Really? That's why it's so important to get faith or get life, bring life, and what? Share life. Say it with me. Get life. Bring life, Sure, it is so important in your time of preparation before you come to church. I know God's a gracious God, but your preparation is crucial. It's not an hour beforehand to be yelling at each other and really frustrated and full of strife and then think you're going to find the blessing of God necessarily when you come into church. What you might find is a lot of conviction. You're too quiet. That must have hit too close to home, huh? See, I got it easy. All I have to yell at is my dogs. They won't come here and tell you. How can we limit God? We need to come full of life, ready to give life away, praying and asking God to move by the Spirit. And as you come to church, it's not just been there, done that, another church service, but oh God, move this morning, do something, change my life. Lord, I want to see you, I want to hear you. How many felt like you saw and heard him in a better way this morning? Are you glad you came to church? Sure. If your attitude is, I've heard it all before, then you're not going to experience much of what he wants to do for you today. So, familiarity. Number two, tradition. Mark 7, verse 5. Mark 7, verse 5. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, go over to Mark chapter 7, now verse 5. And I'm going to do three verses out of Mark 7. The Pharisees and scribes asked him, why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? Mark 7, verse 9. He said to them, all too well, you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your tradition. Mark 7, verse 13. Making the word of God of no effect through your tradition, which you've handed down, and many such things you do. This Greek word for tradition is paradosis. And it means precept or transmissions. Precepts transmitted or handed down. That's not how we do things at our church. Religious people, but no spiritual fervor because it's different. Those aren't my songs. That's not my style. I know, Pastor Kev, you're going to find the country section of heaven. I know that. Don't let tradition get in the way of your revival. Don't let tradition get in the way of your fresh growth. Say it again. Don't limit God. There were miracles before. There were miracles after. But not here. Number three, religion. Prove it to me. God's not moving according to my box. Mark chapter 8, verses 11 through 13. Mark chapter 8, verses 11 through 13. How do you limit God? A few ways. Familiarity, been there, done that. Or tradition, it's not my background. Or religion. Prove it to me. You better do it according to my box. Mark 8, 11 through 13. Then the Pharisees came out. There have been fantastic miracles prior to this. Then they come up to the shore. The Pharisees came out, began to dispute with him. Right away, arguing with you. What do you mean? The Holy Spirit isn't alive and real today. There are no gifts of the Spirit in the church. Why, that's not what the Greek says. Began to dispute with him, seeking from him a sign from heaven. All right, prove it to me, testing him. But he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, why does this generation seek a sign? Assuredly, I say to you, no sign shall be given to this generation. And he left them, and getting into the boat again, departed to the other side. How many of you know there are a whole lot of people that need a fresh move of God in their life? How many think there probably were some people there that needed a fresh move of God? But not in our box. You're not doing it the way I want you to do it. So he left. Don't limit God. The Greek says, really in here it means they began to test him, to scrutinize him, demanding proof. Prove it to me! Because you're not doing what I approve of. I'm in ministry. I've been in ministry, and I don't think God can do that. Prove it to me, Jesus. Jump through my hoops. Jesus turned around and left. But let's see all these incredible illustrations. Jesus is doing great things, opening blind eyes, opening deaf ears, casting out demons, releasing tongues to speak from them, delivering them. Delivering them from an impediment. Thank you, Lord, for delivering me right then. feeding multitudes with a few loaves and fish, not once but twice. Jesus walks on the water. He stops the storm. And in between these miracles, He teaches. The miracles open people's hearts up to God and open them up for His teaching. And He tells them stories to which they can relate. And He uses miracles. And He's all the while proving that He is exactly who He says He is, as the Son of God. And the crowds are loving Him. But the religious people are pushing Him away. Now, it's all right, folks, if you don't understand everything God's doing. Anybody in this room not understand everything God's doing?
No.
I should see every hand in the place. I don't understand. As long as you don't limit Him, has to do with heart attitude. You know, you could just hear the disciples sometimes. I love Peter. Peter's one of my favorite because he keeps messing up. You could just hear Peter going, "Golly. What are you talking about, Jesus? Golly." Just don't put Jesus on a back burner when He's allowed something in your life, no matter how short or long it is, that doesn't make sense to you. Don't limit God. Keep walking with Him. Disciples, they may not get it, but they don't limit Him. Jesus keeps working with those He's gathered around Him. He sends the 12 out 2 by 2, and they do miracles and cast out demons. You read about it in the book of Mark, chapters 6 through 9. And they see Him, as we said, walk on water, and they see Him when He delivers, when He heals, when He opens eyes and opens ears, and they're even part of the miracles. This is incredible. They're part of the miracles when He feeds the thousands with loaves of bread and fish, and they distribute the bread, and it keeps on coming. And then the next moment they're arguing about who's the greatest of them all. And Jesus keeps attempting to reach their heart. And then they get in the boat after feeding the multitudes, and they're arguing among themselves because they forgot to bring bread. Remember? And Jesus stands up and says, "Don't you get it?" And the answer is, "Golly, no." But the bread of life was right in the boat with them. But they didn't get it. Do you know that participating, even participating in a miracle, is no guarantee that you're understanding what God is doing? So Jesus starts bringing it home to them. He's trying to open their eyes. All this, open eyes so people can see God, and ears so they can hear God. You see it in the natural, and what He's trying to do is say, God is trying to move spiritually, supernaturally in your midst. Look up. Your redemption draws nigh. And Jesus' entire focus becomes getting this on the inside of His people, not legalism on the outside. And then remember, He says, okay, who do you say that I am? Remember? Who comes through?
Peter.
What does He say? You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so from that moment, at that moment, that's the most pivotal verse right there in the book of Mark. As you study and as you learn about the book of Mark, right then, Jesus turns and begins to express to them exactly what's going to happen. He's going to have to suffer at people's hands. He's going to have to die, but He will be raised again in 3 days. Says it to them straight. And Peter, anointed one moment, becomes the guy who says, I can't handle that thought. That's not going to happen to you. And Jesus, in the next moment, like 10 seconds later, it feels like when you read it, says, get thee behind me, Satan. And Peter's gone, golly. One moment I'm blessed, the next moment. And Jesus is saying, I don't want you to limit God. I've got to do this. But the beauty about Peter, no matter how many mistakes he made, he didn't limit God. He kept walking with Jesus. I love Peter. How about you? Peter gives me hope in those golly moments. All through the Scripture, you see Peter accepts the rebuke of Jesus and he changes. He may not understand, but he doesn't limit Jesus. He jumps out of a boat and walks on water. He's the only one who does. This guy wants to respond to Jesus. Don't you love the fact he's so in love with Jesus that when they see Jesus after His resurrected state, Peter's out in the boat, and what does he do? He jumps in the water. It's the Lord! Folks, there's excitement for Jesus in his heart. because He so loves him. Even when we don't get it, keep walking. Watch what the Scripture says, John 7:17, if it's there. If any man will do his will, please say this with me, start from the beginning. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine. That verse is so powerful because it gives you opportunity to grow even when you don't understand. If you will obey what Jesus is telling you to do, you'll know what the Word of God teaches. Sometimes you see the Word and understand it and go do it. Other times you just receive the Word and do it, and then the understanding comes. Jesus heals eyes because He wants people to see. Ears are open because He wants people to hear. And He heals the impediments because He wants people to speak the Word of God plainly. Make way for the move of God. Turn to each other again and say, make way for the move of God. Don't limit God. He wants us to have transfigured faith. And I want you to go to Mark chapter 9. He wants us to have transfigured faith. The revelation of Jesus as the Christ comes, and now one of the greatest events in all of Scripture unfolds. Mark 9, verses 1 through 7. And He said to them, assuredly, I say to you that there are some standing here who will not taste death till they see the kingdom of God present with power. Now, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John. Was Peter there with him? Had he just been rebuked? Was he rejected by God? No. After 6 days, in fact, he does it again here. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up on a high mountain apart by themselves. And He was transfigured before them. His clothes became shining. And that word in the Greek is the word stilbo. And it means to gleam, to flash intently. The glory of God from the inside out is happening on the Mount of Transfiguration. His clothes become shining, exceedingly white like snow, such as no launderer on earth can whiten them. And Elijah appeared to them with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, it's good for us to be here, and let us make 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. You just gotta love Peter, don't you? Instead of just keeping his mouth shut at a moment like this, going, oh man, they're terrified, they don't know what's going on, but he just wants this moment to last. Come on, let's build a house here, okay? It's just, come on, I guess maybe I take real comfort in Peter because my mouth's too often open. Anybody honest with me? You know, ever have the Peter ministry in your life? Because he didn't know what to say. I just love it. He didn't know what to say. They were greatly afraid, and a cloud came and overshadowed them. A voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son. Hear Him. And the next verse it says, the others were gone. They saw only Jesus. Now, most agree that the fulfillment of verse 1 is indeed the transfiguration. The coming of the kingdom of God with power refers to the transfiguration, which was an absolutely glorious encounter with God Himself, transformed from the inside out, revealing to them what He was like in His pre-existence state, and then what He would be returning to in that state. The 6 days parallels exactly the 6 days Moses was in the mount before God called to Moses out of the cloud. Moses' countenance, you remember, was changed in the presence of God. And that Greek word for transfiguration is metamorphou. What does that sound like? Metamorphosis. And the Greek in the metamorphosis means to be changed into another form, not just an outward appearance. Outward change that comes from within. A complete change. On earth, Jesus appears as a man, but the transfiguration takes place and His body is transformed into glorious radiance. Pastor Carl has a book on this that He had before coming to earth and which He will have when He returns in glory. The glory shone out from Him, and His clothes became dazzling white. The white was not of this earth. It was a white that no human had seen. These words are unique to Mark's gospel, and they're the first-hand account of Peter, and that's why they're unique to here. Moses and Elijah were there. Why do you think Moses and Elijah were there? What did they represent? the law and the prophets. So you got the law and the prophets talking with the very embodiment of the grace of God and the Son of God Himself. Moses and Elijah had been taken up apart by God, and no one saw them where Moses was buried, and nobody saw where Elijah was carried away to, but Jesus, they will see Him die, buried, and be risen again. Law and the prophets left, and the Son of God remained. It doesn't mean there's no truth to the law and the prophets. They testify of Him who is to come. So they're left and they only see Jesus glistering white in His glory, in His power, and in His presence. And He's confirmed as the Son of the living God. Listen to Him. The word overshadowed means to cast a shade upon in a haze of brilliancy. Now the thing to notice, a couple of them, is Peter does blow it here again. He doesn't get it. And he calls Jesus Rabbi, teacher. In other words, equal to the others. But God's saying, there's a message here. The Son of the living God is where you're going to find your true life. Listen to Him. This moment is unforgettable. Listen to Him. Don't limit God. He wants to bring us face to face with Himself. And He wants to show Himself to you and to me. He wants to open our blind eyes to see, our deaf ears to hear. He wants to walk with us in intimacy. Turn to each other again and say, don't limit God. He wants to do something powerful and supernatural for you. Don't limit Him by been there, done that, familiarity, tradition, religion. Walk with Him day by day. When you don't understand Him and what He's doing, keep walking with Him. Let Him change you. And stay alive in His Word. Because even when you don't understand, as you listen, He'll speak to your heart and to mine. At a time like this, to shut up and listen. And when He gives us something to do, and He says, walk ye in it, this is the way. Say yes and do it. Even when you don't understand it. All the promises. One more verse, Pat. All the promises of God are in Him are yes, and in Him amen, to the glory of God through us. How many want to say yes to God? Lord, now I want to walk with You. I want to see You. I want to be a part of what You're doing. And I don't want to limit You. So I'm going to keep saying yes to God. Yes. Anybody else in this room?
Yes.
Yes to God. Elaine, would you come, please? Let's go to the last song. Let's stand and let's sing that song again. And the angels cried, holy, holy is the Lord. Oh God, move in a fresh way in my life. I want to see You high and lifted up. And the train fills the temple and I want to have my life changed and I want to be conformed to Your image. Sing it like this. I see the Lord. I see the Lord. He is high and lifted up. And His train fills the temple. He is high, lifted up, and His train fills the temple, and the angels cried, holy, and the angels cried, holy, and the angels cried, holy is the Now, I don't know what the need is in your life this morning, but I do know that Jesus loves you. And even if you're in a situation and in a time in your life that you don't understand what He's doing, one of those golly moments, I can tell you that He loves you. And that He's the God who's transfigured right in front of you. And He wants to include you in what He's doing. He hasn't abandoned you. Hold on. Keep walking. Don't limit God. But say yes and watch what He does. Amen? And the angels cry, holy. And the angels cry, holy. And the angels cry, holy is the Lord. Now, Father, I pray You'd move on the behalf of each person who's here this morning. You know exactly what You're speaking to and what You're working on in their lives. And, Lord, here as a church, we commit ourselves to You, and we don't want to limit Your move. Oh, God, won't You move in a fresh way? We welcome the move of God. We welcome the fresh breath of the Spirit. Lord, it doesn't matter if it looks like what we've understood before or looks like our box. What matters is move by Your Spirit. Yes, we want it according to the Scriptures. But, oh God, there's so much more of the Bible that we've not yet seen unfold. Move by Your Spirit, God. And we welcome You. If you're here this morning and you've never given your life to Jesus, I urge you, this is your day. He loves you. Ask Him to come into your heart to be your Lord and your Savior. And He'll guide you to His plan for your life. He has a destiny for you. If you need healing in your body, there'll be a team of people to pray for you afterwards. If you want to take time up here or over here at the prayer area, just take time to talk to Jesus. He loves you. Are you ready to go out and not limit God? And to welcome the fresh move of the Spirit? Now, Lord, send them forth with blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Be released.